welcome to Live Vedanta, a podcast where we explore simple living and high thinking. Each week, we join Vivek Gupta as he offers insights on bringing the divine into the daily.
We began our study of the text, Peace in a Restless World, made up of 18 articles written by individuals who lived and worked for peace. This text shows us that finding peace in others begins within ourselves.
In this week's episode, we learn about how building a culture of peace involves understanding, participation, and communication, realizing that peace is a virtue, not just a state, and the role of reasonable expectations. Let's tune in.
Greetings from Niagara Falls. A famous and powerful message in the science of Vedanta, in the science of self-development, is ahara, nidra, bhaya, maituna. Ahara means food. That which you bring towards you. Nidra. Nidra is our pastime. Sleep. Bhaya. That's fear. And maituna is sex, is lust. These four activities are common between animals and humans. Yes? However, what separates humans from animals is the possibility of the intellect. An intellect that lacks this sense of possibility is an intellect that only instructs us to act towards eating, sleeping, running away, indulging. An intellect that is filled with possibility is not an intellect that instructs, but an intellect that inquires. Why am I different than an animal? How can I live differently than an animal? The Sanskrit word for animal is pashu, one who only lives by pashyati, what they see. What they see, they take literally and they live like that. We are all communing. We are all gathering. And it's so lovely to see so many of you from different places, different backgrounds. We are coming together not to intellectualize peace in a restless world, but to internalize peace in a restless world. Otherwise, we're just eloquent animals. We keep talking about peace, but we do nothing about it. We actually don't feel for it. Be vigilant not to allow our evolving adults' satsang to be an intellectual game. This is for internalization. Okay? Last month, the fourth article that we studied is An Inquiry into Peace by Swami Chinmayananda. And an emphasis that Swamiji shares is that we are habituated towards rajasic happiness. How many of you have completed the Chinmay International Foundation's Bhagavad Gita course? Not completed it, you're enrolled for it. I'll be more compassionate. In this course, there's a lovely description in chapter 18 about rajasic happiness and sattvic happiness. Rajas means aggression. An aggressive person is happy But their happiness looks like this. It's easy in the beginning, but hard in the end. And a sattvic person, sattva means quiet. They have a quiet mind. Their happiness is hard in the beginning, but easy in the end. Yeah. And the emphasis here is rajasic happiness is short term. Sattvic happiness is long term. Gurudev is sharing, we've developed this habit of rajasic happiness and we're living more and more and more short term. Very results oriented, very careless with the environment. And the more sensitive we are, the more we'll change this into a sattvic happiness. If I can make this more practical, rajasic happiness is when you are sleepy and you don't brush your teeth at night. It's easy in the beginning, correct? But if you do this every night, it's going to be hard in the long term, yes? Whereas sattvic happiness is you're sleepy, but you still brush your teeth at night so that your teeth last longer, decades longer. Clear about the practicality of Bhagavad Gita and oral hygiene. In chapter 5, which is entitled The World Without Borders by Paramahansa Yogananda, he presents to all of us a true politician, someone involved in policy, and that they should be without selflessness. And here, he's not just saying, you should give back to your city. Paramahansa Yogananda is saying we should live with an international vision. For someone who's only looking after their state, as an example, to the exclusion of the continent, of the hemisphere, then that's selfishness, correct? Paramahansa Yogananda is not allowing any sense of smallness, of separation. And we explored a lot how this is a ladder that we have to evolve to. The sixth article, which is A Prescription for Peace by Pravrajika Viraja Prana. What is shared by the author here is for us to not reject advice so much. Many of you are in our Vedanta and Ramayana course, and I'd share that a sign of death is when we don't follow advice. And I gave you two other signs, and you were more fascinated by those signs than the point I was making about not following advice. So I'm not going to even bring it back up about those other signs, because we'll be gone then. And the suggestion that is made here is when people speak to you, when people advise you, when people criticize you, to visualize that you are giving yourself advice. You are criticizing yourself because there's way less of rejection than, way less dejection than. There's more acceptance. It's more productive. A prescription for peace. We continue on to the seventh article. We're in our third month of our evolving adult satsang. The seventh article is called Building a Culture of Peace. Building a Culture of Peace by Douglas Roche. And he shares here, there are so many amazing architectural feats across the world. The Stonehenge, the pyramids in Egypt, so many mandirs in Bharat. And many of the workers of these feats, they probably died before they saw the completion of these forms of architecture. Yeah, especially back in the day with less machinery, less engineering, that they worked for 20 years and this is a 200-year project and they died. And he highlights that these workers were probably so immersed in their work that it didn't matter, that they didn't see the completion of the project. They had faith that this would be completed. And then he makes this more subtle by showing there's also others who didn't work on places, but they worked on peace. People like Martin Luther King, people like Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, people like John Lennon. They worked on peace and they all died before this peace was established. Many of the freedom fighters in Bharat, they're martyrs. They died long before Bharat was free in 1947. But did it matter to them? It didn't. And I can only infer this, but I'm strongly inferring this with faith and confidence, that they acted their part. And they knew that's all they could do. The author is sharing here that building a place takes a long time. Building peace takes a much, much, much longer time. And when something is too long, we have this tendency to become lethargic about it. Yes? How many people feel that they're overweight? And once you acknowledge that you're overweight, there's just that propensity that, who cares? It's harder to lose the weight. Why not just go with the flow? God wants me to be like this, so I should just keep on going in that direction, correct? We become lethargic. And that's why the author brings up these ideas of people who had a vision for the future. They acted in the present. They never allowed tamas, this laziness, to kick in to their personality. We have to start to build a culture of peace in a personal way. What is peace to you? How can you build a culture of peace? To start in a personal way, to start in a small way. If every one of us started in a small way to preserve the environment, we would make a difference, no? And if three more people joined us, that's 125 people who are now intelligently working on the environment. And in the article, there's a whole list of ways that we can start on peace personally in a small way. Some that caught my attention that I'm sharing with you is to send letters to newspapers. When matters are chaotic in the world, when we're electing the wrong people, etc., etc., we should write letters to the newspapers that this is wrong. I feel this about this. Consider this. Etc., etc., etc. This is a fine way of sharing what you believe is right and encouraging others to stand up. The Me Too movement is a fantastic example of that, correct? Writing letters to newspapers as if. Another is to create a world for our grandchildren. Do you ever think about your children? How many of you have children? Do you ever think of your grandchildren? But really, that shows vision, no? If I'm only living for the next 50 years, how long I'm going to be alive, that's not very visionary. Through God's grace, right now, Sheila and I are 9-10 weeks pregnant. We're expecting another baby in April. So tomorrow we are going to the midwives to begin our process. And, one of my dreams is to build a Gurukula. And this Gurukula will never be in time, will never be ready for Vyasa. And we're going to have a girl. Her name is going to be Anamika. It'll never be in time for Vyasa and Anamika, but I'm thinking for their children, if they choose to have children. I'm thinking about our grandchildren. And I'm happy when the author lists that as a way to build a culture of peace. And one more way that is personal and small on building a culture of peace is to help others be heard. It's not just about us being heard, but maybe someone doesn't have the resources to be heard. Maybe someone doesn't have the voice to be heard. What if you help them? And we always envision this in a very playground kind of way, that this person's being bullied, so I should stand up beside them, and then it ends there. But this happens all the time. We should stand up for people who don't have access to voting. We should stand up for people who don't have access to education. Maybe they have a brilliant idea, and if your name is on it or supporting that idea, that can be heard. The framework that Douglas Rocha gives. He gives these smaller ways to build peace, and then he gives a framework. Understanding, participation, and communication. Understand what peace is, understand what peace is not. And he references that with the internet, we have endless access to information. Then, participation. Stand up and fight for what is dharmic, for what is right, in any system, your professional lives, your communal lives, your family lives, and communicate this. And I love that transition between participation and communication. Participation is about me, communication is about we. So this cycle develops, this culture develops. And I'll share a paragraph with all of you from this article that is most thought-provoking. Please listen carefully. The UN has stated that the peoples of the world have a sacred right to peace. We must insist on this truth and let no one dissuade us from it by the false claims of impracticability. Nothing is more practical. Gandhi showed the power of nonviolent resistance to social injustice. The time has come to resist the greatest social injustice, the institution of war. For war will kill us all. The only way humanity can survive is by overcoming the culture of war, which has brought us to the unacceptable state of now being the authors of our own destruction. Do you think this is an over-exaggeration? I think for anyone who's honest, this is the truth. In the 8th article, which is called Peacemaking by Eknath Iswaran. Have any of you read an article by Eknath Iswaran before? He is a lovely author and has engaged in lovely work for all of humanity. You get a chance outside of this article, do ensure that Eknath Iswaran is one of the authors that you develop a relationship with. Peacemaking. He shares here that peace is a virtue. Peace is not a state. When peace is a virtue, automatically, where is peace then? You, correct? If I say, where is honesty? You don't look at my fridge. You look in your head, in your heart. When we say peace is a state, it's always politicized then. The state of peace. But it's not. It's a virtue. Eknath Iswaran shares here that if peace is politicized and peace is not a virtue, then it does not matter what kind of external policies are set up to facilitate peace, because it will be broken down, because it's externalized. And I've shared this at the beginning of today's satsang, that we are coming together not to externalize, but to internalize. And this is what's being shared here also. What is the opposite of peace? What is the opposite of peace that we feel on a daily basis? For some of us, it's on a moment-to-moment basis. Anger. Agitation. Restlessness. Anger has become our habit. And when a habit becomes deep enough, it becomes our disposition. Some of us are, it's wrong for me to say some of us are angry. Some of us just naturally express anger. It doesn't matter what happens, we're just angry about it. Yeah? Are you one of those people? Everyone's got a huge smile right now. Why are you happy about that? But remember, this disposition started by a habit. So here, peace is a virtue, anger naturally is presented as a vice then. And the author shares here, change that habit. By changing the habit, you change the disposition. He says, go on a mantra walk. And I've shared with all of you, we should go on a freedom walk, right? You go without anyone, without any electronics, and you focus on the fundamental, focus on freedom. Here he calls it a mantra walk. And when you go on this mantra walk, you have to let go of something that you're carrying with you right now. When you are in a new circumstance, you're meeting a new team at work, you're on a blind date, what do you carry with you when you meet new people? We carry a shield, isn't it? That comfort zone. That not letting oneself be known. We carry a shield. Now, I know many of you watch Game of Thrones. Yes, they have a lot of shields in Game of Thrones. Today, in our Vedanta and Ramayana class, we started the Yuddha between the Rakshasas and the Vanaras. And the description of the war there, Lord of the Rings has copied all of Ramayana. I can list a whole series of war scenes in Lord of the Rings that are all copied from Ramayana. Imagine how heavy a shield is. And obviously we would be exhausted then, correct? Even with an infant, my shoulders hurt, my back hurts, right? And it, Vyasa doesn't even weigh 20 pounds. Imagine walking around with a shield all the time. And if there's a shield, what else is there? What's in the other hand? A sword, no? We walk around with our sword too. And that sword is, what if there's trouble? So you take out your sword. And if you expect trouble, what's going to come then? Trouble is going to come, no? No wonder we're always so tired. We're carrying an invisible shield and sword. Invisible to others, but we are carrying that weight. When we go on a mantra walk, you have to let those go. Then anger stops being our disposition. And peace becomes more of a possibility. Eknath Iswaran shares, our personal and small way to begin peace in a restless world is to ensure that we are using the right means in our lives. This word right in Vedanta would be called dharma. And dharma, coming back to English, is responsibilities. When every one of us is acting responsibly, there will be efficiency, there will be effectiveness, there will be enlightenment. But once that responsibility breaks down, we see this in car accidents, right? Texting and driving. One irresponsible person can cause so much of traffic and damage, yes? And coming back to the Bhagavad Gita course, Swami Tejamayananda emphasizes again and again and again, right association, that's what we're doing, satsang, becomes a catalyst to right action. That's what is being shared by the author. And when these two come together, there's a natural flow to the right attitude. Through God's grace, there's a lot of public opportunities for me to share thoughts on Vedanta that are coming up. I'm speaking at the VA in Chicago next month. I'm speaking at Capital One Bank in Richmond. Highmark is being worked on. At Marathon is being worked on. Microsoft in March is being worked on, etc., etc. And I really share the same thoughts every time. And one of the introductory thoughts I share is, what is the low point of the week for all of you? They're all corporate workers. And every one of them says with such a smile and in such a quick way, Sunday evening. Some people say Monday morning. And that's too bad, because Mondays are really the beginning of our societal responsibilities, correct? But that's a low point of the week. When I have to be responsible, it sucks. That's really how I'm living my life. So that right association and right actions has to be facilitated with the right attitude. That Mondays are just like Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays. It's a day for Dharma. A quote from this article also. The writing is awesome in all of these articles. This is the UNESCO Constitution. Since war is born in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that we have to erect the ramparts of peace. You know, we think of UNESCO as dealing particularly with World Heritage Sites, right? Like the temple system in Cambodia. But here UNESCO is saying that's important, but more important is building peace in one's own mind. And we'll quickly go through one more article to keep pace. The ninth article is called Peace, Oneness with God. And this is by Jonathan Roof. Oneness with God by Jonathan Roof. He starts off not describing peace like the previous author did. He starts by describing the opposite. He shares, restlessness is due to unreasonable expectations. Unreasonable expectations. Does this describe you? Do you think you have unreasonable expectations of your family members, friends, co-workers? Me? Do I have unreasonable expectations of you? My expectations of you are so low. Which is actually what Jonathan Roof says. We should have reasonable expectations. And I like how this is shared, because it's not escaping from expectations, right? It's so easy for me to say, don't have expectations. He's saying, don't have unreasonable expectations. And this is really what is shared in our scriptures, with the emphasis on offer the results to God. If you're someone who's engaged in your responsibilities, you found the joy of effort, does it matter what the results are like? It's only when we don't enjoy what we're doing that we start to insist on such results, on having unreasonable expectations. Yeah. So do you like what you do? Do you love what you do? Do you like who you are? Do you love who you are? Jonathan Roof shares that the mind is the place where these expectations are made reasonable or unreasonable. The mind is to be used. The mind is not to be using us. What celebration in Sanatana Dharma was just completed? There's so many, right? Every region, every month, something is happening. Ganesh Chaturthi was just completed. Yes? Okay. In Ganesh Chaturthi, we have Bhagavan Ganesha, and there's always a small mouse there. I don't like when people call it that mushaka, a rat. It's a mouse. That mouse is the mind. And when the mind is ridden by the creator, ridden by the spirit, that is when there is peace. But imagine that mouse riding God, riding the spirit. That would be chaos. That would visually look terrible, no? So that's the symbolism of Bhagavan Ganesha being the spirit. That's why he's so big. And that mouse is the mind. The mind is small in reference to the spirit. That's Ganesha Chaturthi. But what do we think of? Modakas, building things, breaking things. See the externalization. And now some poetry from this article. The author shares, when the mind becomes quiet, it's like someone who's able to not be rattled by the clouds and knows that the sun is behind the clouds. But for someone who's rattled, they only see the clouds. They don't feel the sun behind the clouds. Quietude of mind. How? Reasonable expectations. How? Use the mind. Don't be used by the mind. He continues with this poetry by sharing, when we know that the divine is the foundation for all, everything that happened to you this month, everything that happened to you this week, everything that happened to you this day, everything that happened to you in the last 35 minutes, everything is divine, you stop being upset. Us being upset is often due to the circumstances, the setup. But if I know all of this setup is divine, I stop being upset. And fine, it works for me when it comes to the weather, it works for me when it comes to the economy. But when my spouse instructs me on doing things, when my parents advise me in certain ways, don't you know I'm 50 years old, I'm 40 years old? Etc., etc., etc. Then what do I do? And the visual that Jonathan Roof gives here is that all beings are waves and God is the ocean, which means every one of us is related to each other, every one of us is related to God, and in actuality, all of us are a God. Then can you have unreasonable expectations? Can you ever be upset?
If you enjoyed what you heard or you want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at medium.com/Vichara Gurukula. For those on the journey of self-development, Vichara Gurukula is a community forum that provides an opportunity to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmaya Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.